We don't have any blocks this morning, so we'll have to go on without visual effects. But good morning. All Christian living has to be based on the Word of God. Because false teachers out there find it so very easy to seduce people who don't know their Bible. And they'll pull one phrase out of context and say it means thus, when it doesn't. So today's message is titled, Remember. Now here's the thing about remembering. You have to have read something in the first place. You have to have experienced something to remember it. You can't remember something that you've never gone through, you've never read, you never did, you never done, never had it happen to you. So, if you open up your Bibles to 2 Peter, chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 12. We're going to read some scriptures so that you will be able to remember it later. Verse 12. Peter is talking here. For this reason, what reason? Well, probably everything before verse 12. The main thing is verse 11. The entrance to eternal life in heaven with Jesus into the everlasting kingdom is going to be supplied to you abundantly. It's going to be a huge wide door for you. So for that reason, Peter says, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, he's not talking about a tent, he's talking about his body. As long as I'm alive on this earth, Peter says, I'm going to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Which is why we have the letter from Peter, so that we can be reminded of what he said. And what did he tell us? Just there, in those three or four verses. Well, basically he said a very short thing. He said, men die, but the word lives. We have the apostles, and we have the New Testament prophets, and through their preaching and through their teaching, they laid the foundation of the church. And then later, in other generations, us, we're building on that foundation. But those men, they were not the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Just like when he said, on this rock, he was not talking about Peter, I will build my church. He is also the chief cornerstone that ties the building together. If a church is to last, it cannot be built on men. It cannot be built on the person that's standing up here. It has to be built on the Son of God. Now, I talked before a little bit about a cornerstone. And the cornerstone is not the first stone laid in the corner. It's the last stone at the corner of the top of the wall that ties the walls together. So Peter's job, as well as the job of every good minister today, is to be a remembrancer. Well, my spell check on the computer said it was. It didn't say it was misspelled, so. A remembrancer. One who causes people to remember. They are to remind believers of God's promises, of His precepts, so that they will remember God's commandments and they'll obey them. Promises are good because you can call God on a promise. If I make a promise to anybody, you, my son, anybody, you can come up and say, Dad, you promised. And I'll do it. Usually you don't have to remind me. I'll be there. 8 o'clock, I'm there at 8 o'clock. Well, maybe 5 off. I like coffee before I start roofing. But Peter commits himself. He says, I will not be negligent in my duty. Now, some people think this is needless. I already know all this stuff. What are you saying it again for, Ken? You've got to bear with me. Because there are a lot of things we know that turns into we knew, but now we forget. And I found that to be the case with myself. There were some things I used to do on my computer for my wife. And when I went to remind myself to do them, I forgot how to do them. I couldn't even get into the program. So we need someone to poke us, our memories especially, and put these things back into our mind that we already knew, but because we didn't do it a lot, it's a vague memory. So that will prevent us from forgetting it. That's why we read God's Word every day, so I don't forget it. And I still forget it. We have to come establishing the belief of the truth. Nothing else. Only the truth. So help you, God, and that's it. And the doctrines of the gospel. What are the quick, easy doctrines of the gospel? Jesus is the Christ. Jesus came into the world to save us, sinners. And that whoever believes in Him shall be saved. There's no question about it. It's a done deal. These are the truths of the Christian church in every age forever. And they have to be constantly affirmed by good ministers. Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them, Paul. And many in this valley today are doing the same thing this morning, is reminding everybody of the truths of the gospel. So Peter's an example to all Christian ministers. They have to be on the lookout for lost souls. Amazingly, we had one come to our house this past week. And now she's not so lost. But there's no rest in that work. All the time, in every place. And I know this guy does it in the back of an ambulance. They strive, sometimes by word, but always by example, to arouse the importance of these truths that Peter's talking about. It was Jesus who said, "The night cometh when no man can work." So there's coming a day when we're not going to be able to do this anymore. And so we better do it now. Peter, in those verses, he looked forward to his death that was coming, and he looked at it with a sweet and holy calmness. I didn't read any anxiety in his voice when he was talking about leaving this earth. And he knew it was going to happen because Jesus told him it was going to happen. And he knew he would not die in that prison because Jesus said, when you are old, you will die, Peter. And he wasn't old when he was in that prison. Now he's old. Now maybe he felt it was very, very near. And sometimes it's good for us to think about that. Think about your approaching death once in a while. And I don't mean that morbidly, but reflect on it calmly. And that will throw a much clearer light on the real solemn meaning of our earthly life and on the importance of finishing the work that God gave you to do. Maybe we work all the better when that shadow of death is hovering over us. Your testimony seems more real. It seems deeper, more convincing when it comes from someone who is on the point of leaving this world and entering the eternal. Because you have nothing to gain. There's no motive other than another person is saved. So Peter follows up this with, he said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he says, and we heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. This is one of those times when we just stop and reflect on Christ. Jesus was the main topic of the apostles' preaching. They spoke of his first coming as the object of faith. And then they spoke of his second coming as the object of hope. So it's only natural that believers today often think about the power and the majesty and the presence of our Lord Jesus. In verse 17, which I read, we had the witness of the Father to the Son. Three occasions during our Lord's earthly ministry, the silence of heaven was broken, and the voice of the Father, in an audible testimony, came to the Son. Matthew 3:17, at the baptism it came. Matthew 17:5, at the mountaintop transfiguration it came. On the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in John 12, the voice came. And out of all these three, I think the transfiguration was the most impressive. Selected three up there, and a booming voice comes out of the sky. He chose to talk. He picked a medium that we are familiar with. Oh, words, sound, listening. My mind can understand that. It wasn't a metaphor. It wasn't something you had to interpret. It was very clear. And he expressed his personal affection toward Jesus. Calls him my beloved Son. And then after that, he acknowledged what his Son was doing. He acknowledged his actions. In whom I am well pleased, he said. In that very short verse, there's a lesson for us. There's always a lesson for us, but there's a lesson. Our children need this affirmation of our love towards them. They also need recognition of jobs well done. If God the Father can do this to God the Son, all the more we should do it to our children. They got to hear something more than just scolding. They need that hug of love, that appreciation, that shows them that you love them, that you approve, that they did a good job. Good job, son. Now I got another one for you. But that's how my father was. Another thing we have to realize. What we read in God's book here, it's true. The apostles saw it with their own eyes. They heard it with their own ears. They were not deceived. They didn't invent something and then wrote it down on paper. In accepting the gospel narrative that we read about, we build a sure foundation of facts that we can share with other people. That's how we witness. And Peter goes on in 19 to the end of the chapter. After all that stuff, he says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well, he says, to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In some respects, not much, but in some respects, the world's getting a little better. I mean, I thank God for advances in medicine. Keeps a lot of us still standing. I like forms of transportation. And communication, I can communicate with my grandson halfway across the world in a second. Those are good things. I like that. I can get information, and so can you, on any subject by way of the internet. Most of it is true, but you got to be selective. But after all that, the human heart is still wicked. Medical science enables us to live longer, but there's no guarantee that we'll live any better. So we should not be surprised that this world is engulfed in spiritual darkness. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned us there's going to be counterfeits coming. And they're going to come into your churches. And they're going to teach a false doctrine. And Paul gave the same warning. Even John, the apostle of love, what did he say? He warned of anti-Christian teachers that would try to destroy the church. He says the Antichrist in some way is already here. All that, what's being said is the apostles did not expect the world to get better or morally more spiritually. They all warned there's going to be false teachers coming. They're going to introduce something that's not godly. They're going to lead many, many people astray. The world is going to get darker and darker. And as it did, God's light shines brighter and brighter. You ever notice you have a tiny little night light? In the middle of the day at 12 noon, you hardly even know that light's on. Get up at 2:30 or 3:30 in the morning like I do to go to the bathroom, and that's the only thing on in the room. It's pretty bright in there. And that's how God's Word is. The darker this world gets, the brighter God's Word shines. And all the law and all the prophets testify of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's saying. And he's saying, after all that, we have the sure Word of God. You can believe it. It wasn't made up. It's like a lamp that shines in a dark place. We can't find that straight path and that narrow road that leads to life without the guiding light of the Holy Word of God. The heart is dark if it's not illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that guides our steps to the cross of Jesus Christ, where we find rest for our souls. Anybody here get up and when it's real, real dark and they just sit there drinking their coffee and watch the sunrise? Before the day dawns, you're up working before sunrise, I know. Before the day dawns, the day star comes out, or some people call it the morning star. And it shines brightly, and it's calling the sound of reveille to the world. Wake up! To the church, Jesus Christ is the bright morning star. And the promise of His coming shines brightly, no matter how dark the day may be. He's also the Son of Righteousness, it says, who will bring healing to believers, but judgment to the unbeliever. Malachi 4:1-2. He will bring healing to those that believe. So we have our Bible. It is the Spirit-given Word. They were not written by men who sat there saying, what do I want to write next? Let me write this. I think that sounds good. Scripture says they were written by men that were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's the key word, moved. That word translated means to carry along as a ship is carried by the wind. Those ships had sails in those days. It was the wind that moved that ship. God breathed word. Not inventions of men. Here's the other good thing. It was written to common people. It wasn't written to theological priests and studiers. It was assumed common people could read it, understand it, and apply it. Because it was led by the same Holy Spirit that inspired it. You have the same Holy Spirit guiding you in the Word when you read it as the Holy Spirit that put it down on paper. So as believers, we need this Word to govern our lives. For unbelievers, it's going to get darker. And it's going to get darker still till they end up in eternal darkness. But God's people are looking for the return of Jesus and the dawning of a new day of glory. Until that day dawns, we must be sure that the love for His coming is like a shining star in our hearts. Unless we love his appearing, we won't look for his appearing. And it's the word that keeps that expectation bright. And so this last paragraph is, I could have just said this and it would have been done. Men die. God's word lives on. Experiences fade, but the word remains. The world goes darker, but the prophetic light shines brighter. And so the believer who builds his life on the word of God and who is looking for the Savior is not likely to be led astray. So Peter's message, in a nutshell, wake up and remember. Because it's while men slept that the enemy came in and sowed the tares in the field. Be alert, wake up, remember. Glorious Heavenly Father, thank you. Your word is you, and we love it. And we praise you and thank you for giving it to us, that every day we can experience your love and compassion and power, that your Holy Spirit lives within us and guides our footsteps in the dark path ahead, that keeps us strong, that no matter who knocks on our doors, we will not be moved. And we pray that you will give us words to speak and joy to show as we go through this week, as you was our Savior and leader and God. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen.